get your garden into the ground and get started at the right times for next season. We'll also be back with one more episode of the first week of December about gifts for gardeners, and then Gardening and Bark will return in the spring. So here is Gardening with Embark.
Time now for Gardening with Embark,
and I'm welcome to the studio, Pablo Vimas, our gardens expert from Embark Sustainability.
Hello, morning.
Thanks for joining us. So it's week 45.
Correct.
We're
yep.
Yep. We're really at the end of the gardening season, and this is going to be the end of our season of weekly sessions.
Correct. Yeah, so I think we started early April.
Yeah,
and we have been sharing with our listeners all what's happening in the garden, and yeah, we now are going to take a break. The garden were put to bed
a few weeks
back, and now we are on week 45, and we just, as the gardeners, are expecting the first frost.
Yeah,
usually it's around November the 11th, 1 week before or 1 week after, so
yeah,
just around that time. So we just starting the time where the frost will arrive. Last Tuesday, we had a light frost.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see the grass and everything nice and white,
yeah,
but nothing serious. And yesterday and today is raining, and the weekend seems to be dry. So perhaps next week we might see a bit more frost.
Yeah, and that frost sort of signals the end of the season. We've got our winter vegetables in the ground, and they're going to do their thing through the winter. But really, it time and maybe to start thinking about next season.
Correct. So at the moment, it is just perhaps this weekend, the last chance to go and plant some garlic, some fava beans when you still can work the soil, because when it's frost, you don't want to touch that. And then, yes, so now we are in thinking. I start aligning our thoughts about what's the next season, what we need to do in the coming months.
And one of the things we've talked about throughout the show and gardeners work with throughout the year is the idea of counting the weeks of the calendar as a way to keep track of where you are in the season, what you need to be preparing, what you need to be doing.
Correct.
Maybe you can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so I like to work very much with weeks rather than with months or days. There are several calendars that online that gives you dates between this date and that day you had to plant. And usually what happens is that the date arrives and I haven't done the job.
Right.
And now you feel guilty. But if I work by week, I have 7 days in a week to do the task.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why a week. And that's what it helps me to keep track. As we've been sharing over the year, like week 13 is the last frost.
Yeah.
Now we have a week 20. Put your summer crops out.
Yeah.
Week 26. School ends, elementary school ends, everybody's on holidays. We start thinking our nursery for the fall. Week 36, everybody returns to classes. And now we're week 45, first frost. And then the next will be week 50 for the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we have the shortest day.
Yep.
And after that, gardener spirits start to rising because winter is done. Now we have long days, and we are just looking forward for coming out to the garden. So yeah, so this allows to keep track, and it helps quite a lot to do things. And then we have a guide that we try to match with what we have for every week.
And of course, that whole weekly guide is very tied into the local ecosystem. What we're talking about here is, of course, relevant for our area, Southwest British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And what,
yes.
If you are somewhere else, California or in the prairies or wherever, all those dates are going to shift.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So as mentioned, here we're talking about for the Vancouver and Metro Vancouver in British Columbia. And well, the first frost is around November the 11th. Last frost is the last week of March. But if we are a bit north, like Prince George, Bella Bella, Yes, we, yep. They, over there, they already have the first frost. So, yes, so if you are a gardener and you're trying to do your own schedule, when I start my plant, what are my deadlines? First frost and last frost, these are the deadlines that we have, and from there we walk back. You have to learn the weather pattern in your region.
So let's talk a bit about, because, you know, we're sort of, we've put the garden to bed. Now's a good time to think about when we want to get going on things for next year. And there's different starting points depending on whether you want to start your garden from seeds or whether you're going to get seedlings from the from the nursery.
So we do quite a lot of planning when we want to start our own seeds. The base is that it's cheaper. One. The other is that we can have a variety of crops that is not available in the garden centers. So garden centers produce varieties that sell very well, but varieties that are rare or something that we enjoy eating but it's difficult to find. So those are the ones that we start from seeds. And then we, as I said, we have week 14 is the week that we need to look at that. And from there, we walk 8 weeks back. That is the time that it takes for our cabbage or broccoli to to be in a right size to go to the garden. So we are talking about week five, which is the first week of February. So it's like, So February, we start our seeds indoors. So by that time, we spend all January thinking, okay, I need potting soil and next, see my grow lights are working, see if my I have inserts or the small pots where I'm going to grow my vegetables. Do I have seeds? So if you don't have seeds, now December is the time to start placing your order. Hopefully by the time January arrives, your order arrives. So at the moment, we are in November and we see how the garden is put to bed. The last crops of garlic or fava beans can be in the ground. And then we decide, okay, now we are going to focus on checking the garden guides, see what is in the, what are the varieties that worked this year, what didn't work, what I would like to try new things to try, and start placing my orders in December for having the seeds in January. And February, we start all the
And so when you, when you're doing your seeds, what are the things you need for that? You know, I mean, are you working with egg cups? Are you, do you have little pots? What do you prefer?
I prefer the regular. So we start with, I don't use potting soil. The fact is that potting soil tends to dry up very quick when I grow plants indoors. So it's like, over the years I find out that I use garden soil, which is a bit heavier. And retains more water, so I don't have to keep my mind say, "Oh, I have to water. I have to water my seedlings." So garden soil, and then I use inserts. Inserts are these small cells. They come in size of 6 cells or 4 cells. I usually use 4 cells insert, and then all those are sitting in a nursery tray, 10-20, that's what we call them, nursery tray, and those trays goes underneath the grow lights. So that's how I use. By experience, by doing this, I realized that potting soil, is advised to use that, but the water evaporates. We should recall that grow lights are on for 16 hours. So I use just fluorescent light, so they get very hot underneath the inside the shelf where the grow lights are. It gets hot, and of course the water evaporates. And if by accident you forget to water, your plants will just scorch because
And of course, at that point, they're super. They're very, very fragile.
Very fragile. Yes, and once you they miss one watering, you are done. You have to all start all over again. So. On the other side is that if the water, you water too much, fungal diseases start growing in the soil because it's a garden soil, and then you have dumping off on your seedlings dying because of bacterial infections.
So what other things should people be thinking about in terms of just getting ready for that seedlings and for the new season?
So for the new seasons, let's first of all start with thinking which vegetables I like to grow. Mm-hmm. Then you start ordering your seeds, and then you make sure that if you have potting soil or garden soil, and make sure your containers are clean and washed. That is other thing with having these small six cell packs that you need to wash them. So it's by hand, one at a time. And sometimes when you are washing, those inserts are very fragile. They just ripped and they had to go and get new ones.
Yeah.
We try to reuse as much as possible, but yeah. So there's washing, disinfecting. All the trays have to be washed, nicely disinfected. So when you start, everything is nice and clean. So these are very much takes all the until December to find all that material. The other thing is chasing where you can get the soil, mm-hmm. potting soil or garden soil. At the moment, all the garden centers, they have soil, but it's stored somewhere, and you have to go and ask, can you bring some?
Yeah.
And you go to the big box store and say, oh, no, at the moment we are no. So it's always looking for soil. So, at the moment here at Embark, we already have 2 bags of 50 liters each for the start of the new season.
Great. So people are going to be looking for, thinking about and choosing their seeds in December and putting in those orders.
Yep.
Then hopefully they come in January and you can start getting ready. And early February, start planting those seedlings. And look after them so that you're ready to start transplanting at the end of March.
Correct. And as well, we start at the same time around mid February, we'll start with summer crops. So if you want to start your own tomato plants, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants as well. So you have, you need to decide which varieties, and that will be the time to start your summer crops as well. So so everything kind of lines up nicely, and looking forward for week 14 now.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for everything you've shared with us this season. It's been so much great information and learning.
It has been a pleasure to share with you and with our audience that's what we do here at Embark, how the garden is going, and tricks that we learn over the years. And there's still a garden is a dynamic environment. Nothing repeats. This year is going to be the next year is going to be something different than this year, and things keep evolving. As we mentioned over these last weeks, we have moved to a new site. So now we are really looking to see how that site behaves and which wildlife will visit us.
Right. Excellent. Well, we'll be back one more time next month to talk about gifts for gardeners.
Yes, that's right.
And excellent. Thanks so much, Pablo. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. Tell us a bit how people can find out more about Embark.
Yeah, Embark is a nonprofit organization based in the Student Union building. And we have 2 streams of work. One is called the Food Justice, and the Learning Gardens are part of that. And then we have the Climate Equity as well. We talk about climate crisis and the relationship of gardening and the climate. Then we have lots of the community kitchen that we carry once a month, and the food rescue that runs every Thursday. And we're always looking for volunteers. If you're interested in volunteer, you're interested in getting to know a bit more about Embark, come and visit us. Or as well, you can visit our website at embarksustainability.org or follow our social media at Embark Sustainability.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Pablo.
I will see you next time.
See you next time.
Programmer here at CJSF. If you donated to FundDrive, thank you. We appreciate your loyalty to supporting grassroots independent voices and helping us rise higher and reach further.
This is Bells Larson from her album Burning Time. This is The Way the Wind Blows.
hypocrite sitting by your home listening to Jody Mitchell's Blue. After side A, I put it away, 'cause all I can hear is you. I'm better off on my own. I am lonely. Heat wave, gray day. Do I have to go outside? You as true. How can I still not be over you? I'm better off on my own. I am lonely.
Bells Larson and The Way the Wind Blows from her album Burning Time. All right, Peter R.H., what's your topic for today?
Well,
give us the intro.
That last week, a bit more than a week ago, Canada and the Philippines signed a status of visiting forces agreement, which really built on the Canada-Philippines defense cooperation memorandum of understanding signed in January 2024. And according to this quote from the site, the Philippines is one of Canada's most important defense partners in the Indo-Pacific region. And I think this is sort of, because there's been a sort of a hurricane there, hasn't there?
Apparently there's been like four hurricanes and two earthquakes in the last month.
So
they call them typhoons, though.
In January 2024, the Department of National Defense and the Philippines Department of National Defense signed a defense cooperation memorandum of understanding, enable cooperation, military education, training, capacity building, UN peacekeeping, and humanitarian assistance and disaster relief. So I really haven't heard about Canada offering them any help in the news, have you? I don't know.
I haven't.
That's the background. What was not? I just heard it not last Sunday, the Sunday before that on CBC Radio, very briefly about that. The other thing, it's rather odd. Have you heard about this Vancouver, Philippines center being proposed?
I had heard a bit about it.
And Mabel Elmore said a few words about it a few days ago on mm-hmm. their on the competition.
Who is Mabel Elmore?
She is an MLA.
Okay.
An NDP MLA, and she's and she's basically half Filipino mm-hmm. because her father is not, her mother is, and she was born in British Columbia, but her heritage is important to her.
Yeah.
And she's over the years of being elected in that riding, I forget the exact riding, Anyway, she has her office on Fraser Street, close to 41st. He has been in real communication with the Filipino community and so on. And actually, that accident happened just a few blocks from her office.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't still don't know what all that was about. It was seemed an odd thing. It could have just been he was upset over something.
It seemed to be mostly, from what I've read, mostly a mental health issue and not some larger purpose.
So this is sort of, so the community center idea, I guess, is sort of gone parallel to this, but I'm sort of wondering if it's sort of more parallel in the, this military agreement that's been just done. Now, here I'm going to be paraphrasing. This is Vice News. Is Vice News still around, Magnus?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is from 2020.
Yeah.
It's really about an incident in 2019 that happened in the Philippines relating to a Canadian mining company. Now, half the mining companies, half the mining around the world is done from Canadian firms, but only 15% in the Philippines. So I don't. But anyways, but it's easy. This is quoting from the Vice article. It's easy to see why the Philippines attracts foreign mining interest. It ranks as the fifth most mineral-rich country in the world, with an estimated $1 trillion of untapped minerals like gold, copper, zinc, and silver. So, I just wanted to get that bit and not say that I was just, oh, it's just something that I said. So anyway, the other thing that happened was that at that time, 2019, the Philippines government was saying that the Canadian government had said that, but the Communist Party of Philippines was a terrorist party,
mm-hmm.
when no such thing was stated. Now, what was interesting about 2010, and that's when the Stephen Harper government was in,
yeah,
with a majority. There was an attempt by a liberal to have a certain legislation passed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is. Bill C-300 would have forced corporations to comply with widely accepted international human rights and environmental standards. Consequences for not doing so would have included loss of financial support and withhold support from Canadian embassies. But it never went through, though.
Was this directed at Canadian companies operating?
Yeah, kind of what they're doing in the Philippines now, right. I guess.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, actually, okay. There was a person involved in all this, and he said, "I declared myself as a refugee to come to Canada, I declared myself as a refugee, but I could do that because I had resources, but she was turned down though. Anyway." I mean, I think there's been a lot of. I'm wondering why they're strengthening this military agreement. I think it is about what the mining interests myself. And there has been, and also the article goes on to say that they tried to get, at the time, the ombudsman involved, and he kind of, didn't quite work out.
On what reason?
Canadian's ombudsman for Responsible Enterprise, Sherry is supposed to hold corporations accountable. The ombudsman role introduced last year is tasked but that would have been 2018, is tasked with reviewing claims of human rights abuses by mining and oil and gas companies. Although, according to the spokesperson, her spokesperson, she has not undertaken any investigations yet of 2020, actually. Kali said that they are aiming to launch their complaints and dispute resolution mechanisms in November of that year. So, there's another paragraph here, maybe. Not everybody thinks the ombudsman will be successful. A University of Ottawa legal scholar specializing in resource extraction thinks the ombudsman role won't work in practice because the ombudsperson cannot compile or summon corporations to participate in investigations, and all participation is voluntary. So it just seems to me that what do you think of this situation here?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess we'd need more information. I mean, and find the real connection between, you know, this cooperation agreement around military activities and, you know, and the mining activities of Canadian corporations. So it's hard to say. I mean, you know, the Philippine government has been in a bit of a roller coaster in terms of its effects on human rights in the country, with the Duterte government of just a few years ago seeming to engage in some really extreme practices, enough that it's actually got Duterte taken to The Hague to face international court.
Is that the current president?
No, that's the previous president. The current president is Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Is the son, which is sort of interesting that the one... previous to him, he's more corrupt. It seems from this thing from 2020, didn't seem very good what he was doing up to. But I don't think that the son is of Marcos is that much better.
It's hard to say. I don't know. I'd have to look into it. You know, you'd think he might exhibit some of the, you know, carry on the legacy of his father, but hard to say. All right, then. I think we've exhausted this topic.
I guess so. You want to bring something up?
No. I have some music to play, though. This is Lost Skill coming up in just a moment, and the track is called Bell Flame. But first, don't forget, Democracy Now! Is coming up in about a little less than 2 minutes. Thanks to everyone who donated to Fund Drive this year. Your support is very much appreciated. You can tune into tomorrow's Spoken Speak Up, hosted by Danny Nesvadarani, and to hear that interview about from Vision Zero about reducing transportation deaths in our region, and particularly in New Westminster. And lots more great programming coming up here on CGSF throughout the day. Stay tuned and keep on listening. This is Lost Skill and Bell Flame.